I'm concentrating on verses 6 up to 10 here in Colossians 2. And this passage tells you the key to the Christian life, tells you the key to Christian maturity. There's some overlap with what we looked at in the service earlier. Sadly, if you hear 10 different preachers around, you may hear 10 different keys which they give you. Or in 10 different years, you might be told 10 different keys. And lots of people are still looking around, hunting high, hunting low. Where's the key to Christian completeness? And in fact, the key is just above the door. It's just close at hand. It's something we've known already. Once we take it, we won't need to go looking for another one. Keys just above the door. It's here in God's word. In verse 6, Paul gives a command. A command for Christians. Well, first he tells us who Christians are. A Christian, verse 6, is someone who received Christ Jesus as Lord. They received Jesus himself, a living person. They've come into a new understanding of who he is, and they've come into a new relationship with him. It's a personal thing that has changed who they are. Changed who they are, especially in relationship to Jesus of Nazareth. So, definition of a Christian, it's not somebody who's walked to the front and put their hand up. It's not someone who's filled in a particular card and put it in a box somewhere in the church. It's not someone even who's been baptized or come into membership. So these things, they take their place. They have their position. But a Christian is someone who has personally themselves received Jesus as their Lord and Master. Someone who has come to know Jesus themselves as the Saviour and now the Lord of their life. There's Christ Jesus, that's Messiah Jesus. The word Christ is a Greek word, and in Hebrew they had the same word, it was Messiah. It means God's anointed king. The one whom God has sent to be the king, and the one he's filled with his spirit to rule. Jesus, of course, is his name, but it's a name with a meaning. Names in the Bible often have meanings, and it means the Saviour. And we receive him. We believe he's the one that God sent to be the Saviour of Jew and of Gentile and to reign forever and ever. And we bow down to him, and him we take as Lord and Master. And now he's the one to rule our lives. Well, have you done that? Have you received Christ Jesus as Lord? Is he the King? Is he the Master? You've taken the crown off your own head, you've handed it to him, and you've knelt before him. Your sins, you've trusted to him who died on the cross for them. Have you done that? Received him as Lord, not just known about him, not just heard about him, not just talked about him, but you've actually received him as the Lord of your life. Well, if you have, then Paul now gives the command. He says, just as you did that, now continue to live in him. This is a life. It's a living, powerful thing. And Paul says, as you began it, as you did at the beginning when you received him, now continue to live in him. And actually, he gives us three separate pictures, three separate images to help us. And the first is a walk. And it doesn't come clearly in our translation, because the word that we have as live, the word he used is actually walk. A walk is a good picture for a way of life. It's something that you continue on steadily, One foot in front of the other. Left, right, left, right. You continue in that steady, steady walk. If you are wanting to go up to Mylene and you haven't got the fare, but you know if you put left foot, left foot, right foot, you know you'll get there. Or if you wanted to go out to Mile Tisa a bit further. But you know you'll make it as long as you steadily continue. No good just to run with all your strength for 10 minutes and then you're exhausted and you fall down. But go on with a steady, steady walk. Active, persevering in following Jesus as the Master. When he became Lord of your life at the beginning, well, that's what you're to continue doing. Tells us the same thing another way in verse 7. It says, to be rooted in him. Well, the rains seems they've come. Now people are beginning to plant. They're putting in their seeds so that the roots can break out and down they go. And when they do that, then they'll be able to come up as well. You'll be able to see the plant growing. You'll be able to get the harvest. And that'll happen as long as the plant is rooted deep down. Paul says the secret, the way forward to Christian maturity is to make sure you have those roots. You can't see the roots, they're under the ground. Can't look into your heart and see what's there. I can't listen to your thoughts and hear what you're really thinking. But if you want to be mature in Jesus Christ, you need to make sure you're drawing up strength from those roots, that you're feeding upon him, that you're getting that source of life from him. If you continue believing in him, you keep looking into his word and believing the promises that he gives, you keep asking for help from the Holy Spirit so that you can continue day by day. Our roots have to be in Christ. He gave the same idea another time when he said that he was the bread of life. Now, bread is not steak, it's not nyama choma, but it's just the simple basic food that you need to take day after day so that you have strength to live day after day. That's what Jesus must be to us. It's not spectacular. People won't stop and say that's amazing because it's underground. It's that heart work of faith. It's just a work of reading and believing and doing, rooted in him. Then third, he speaks of a building built up in him. Building goes up brick by brick, if it's a brick building, or layer upon layer if you're doing it with mud. But Christ is the basic principle of growth. Each brick in the Christian life, believing the gospel, trusting his promises, adding to it day by day. And nothing spectacular again happens, but bit by bit. But Paul's telling us, don't go searching for something new. But the thing you began with, continue with. Christ, the Saviour, beginning, middle and end. Verse 7, he says, as you were taught, that's the thing I taught you, that Christ died and rose again. He's your life. He died so that every day when we sin, every day we can ask to be forgiven again. Every day when we find it difficult, every day we can remember. He rose from the dead in glory and power. Every day when we face a challenge, we can pray to him, the living Jesus at the right hand of God, for new strength and help and wisdom. Paul says, do this with thanksgiving. Verse 7. Overflowing with thankfulness. And the problem is that often people, they drift away from Christ. They start to say, well, what else is there? What else? They stop remembering the greatness of the gospel. They stop feasting on the wonder of Christ. And they start looking around somewhere else. They stop to be thankful for what he's done. They stop remembering how huge their sins were. They stop feeling how undeserving of Christ they were. They forget all the things he's done for them, keeping them. All the challenges he brought them through from when they first believed until now. They stop being amazed that God sends sinners food and clothing each day. That he causes the sun to rise and he gives us the bright colours to live in his world every day. Well, Paul says, don't just say a few words of thanks when you have a meal, but be overflowing in your life with thankfulness. Give thanks for everything you see and do it from the heart. Don't lose your sense of wonder. Don't lose your amazement at the gospel of Christ. That's when people start looking elsewhere. That's when you have a real problem. Thanksgiving chases the devil away. Thanksgiving each day chases the devil away. My country, they have a funny saying. They say, have an apple each day, keeps the doctor away. Have some healthy fruit to eat each day. Well, thanksgiving is what keeps us safe. Thanksgiving in Christ. Don't go looking for some special blessing which some special preacher can give you. Don't believe that nonsense and rubbish when they bring out jars of oil and say, this is what you need. Don't listen when the preacher says, oh, I've been to this far place and had a great vision and now I come to lay my hands upon you. Paul says the secret is to hold on firmly and to rejoice in Christ himself and give thanks every day and every hour for what he's been doing for you. At verse 9 and 10, he says, let me explain that a bit. He gives a reason for what he said. We said a little about these verses earlier today. But verse 9, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. All the greatness, every great thing that's in God is found in Christ. Deity just means God, godness. But when Jesus took a body, when Jesus took a human soul, all of God's fullness was then poured into it. He is the embodiment. So he could say when he was on earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He could have said, I'm the power, I'm the glory. Says in another place that he's the exact imprint, the exact shape and outline, the exact form of God's being. He is the true image of the invisible God, so that those who look upon him could say, I've seen all perfection, I've seen all completeness. There's nothing more that's needed. I just need to get a good hold of him. God was manifest in the flesh. So Paul says that we are complete in him. Verse 10, you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Everywhere that we have weakness, he has power. Every place where we're incomplete, he is complete. Everything where we're tied down and restricted and limited, he rules and reigns. He is the head of that body that we have joined. When we believed, we were united to him. We just need that fullness to flow from the head into the different parts of the body. We don't need to go around looking for another head, another source of power, another source of blessing. We just need to hold on to him. The great strategy of Satan, the great plan of Satan, is to take our eyes off Christ, to draw us away from him. Anything that can take us away from him, then Satan's succeeding. Our real need is to look to him, to know him more and more, to understand what we already have. When you're first converted, you're joined with Christ. Our need is to understand and to unfold and unpack that, to draw upon it, to have the strength flow down from the head into the part of the body that we are, to understand what he's already done and grow in it, because he's got all fullness. Now in verse 8, Paul gives us a warning. So we've had a command, and he's given an explanation, but in verse 8 he gives a warning. He says, see to it, make sure, something to be careful about, that nobody takes you captive, because there's other people going around with other teachings, but you're to look at them like they were kind of jailers looking for people to lock up. In England, they used to have a thing called the press gang. They don't have it now. But when England was a great power on the seas, and when all the battles and wars were fought upon the seas, England had one of the greatest navies. But they couldn't get enough people just by calling for them to come. They had a thing called a press gang. These were people employed by the king and by the navy to go out in the streets, find people who were doing nothing, find people who were just walking around with nothing to fill their time. They'd have done well in Eldoret. They'd have found a few. And if they found you weren't doing any legitimate business, if there's no proper work you were in the name of the king, they press ganged you, they took you into the king's navy. You weren't a free man after that. You were now to fight in the king's navy. You'd been press ganged. Satan also has his servants going around looking for people who aren't content in Christ, who aren't holding on to Jesus, and he's ready to take them captive with other teachings. Hollow and deceptive philosophies, he says. Things that seem wise. A philosophy is, well, what the word means is the study of wisdom. It even means the love of wisdom. But here he's talking about empty human wisdom. To deceive you. Things, verse 8, which depend upon human tradition, human thinking. Things which sound like clever ideas, but they're just the things of this world. It's not the truth which comes down from heaven. It's not the truths about the world to come. It's not the truths of the gospel of Christ. But just clever sounding man-made ideas. It's not grounded and rooted in Jesus crucified and ascended to the right hand of God. It's the worldly wisdom which is passing away. All man's cleverness and strength has only brought us into trouble. When Adam and Eve decided what was best to do, they brought the curse upon us. Whenever anyone's tried to build the church their own way, they brought more misery. So well done the God's judgments. People come and they promise you an easy life and they promise you riches. But God's way is to take up the cross and to follow Christ. Everything else, he says, is hollow. I've heard of this one. I've never met anyone who's fallen for this trick. I think it started after we came to Kenya. I started reading about it in the news that I got from the UK. But something people do. Maybe you go into a town and you're going shopping. And a few men come up to you and they have a bag. And they open up the bag or the box. Maybe there's a mobile phone. Maybe there's a computer. And they say, we've got some of these, and we're trying to sell them cheap. And they tell you the price, very good price. You look at the thing, and you think, wow, great price. And so you say, I'll buy. And so they close the box. You hand them the money. They hand you the box. They go back into the crowds. You go on your way, you go home, you open the box. It's not in there. It's just some stones. There's some rocks in the box. Somehow they switched the box. What did they do? They conned you. Well, there's a lot of teachers and preachers like that. They're telling you something very great, something very good. But it's hollow, it's empty. When you get it home, when you start trying to live that way, it doesn't deliver. You don't get the thing you were hoping for. You don't find the peace and satisfaction and the good life that you were looking for. The truth is based upon Christ. Seek him himself. Seek him. Obey his word. Call upon him in prayer. Follow him. Take up the cross. And you'll receive the glory as well. As you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live him, rooted in him, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness.